Are you ready to get into the Word?
Yes.
All right, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And we're trying out some new things with our recorder today to give me the ability to wander and the recording stays at the same level. So if you like today's message, you can go to our website, befellowship.org, and you can listen to, we usually have it by Tuesday afternoon or so, we have today's message posted there, and you can listen to previous messages as well. So praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're doing a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you know, this was not a doctrine made up by man, this was in the Bible, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 4 of that chapter. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. It says this, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit." Say profit.
Profit.
The gifts of the Spirit are for our good. They're not to scare you. They're not to spook you. They're not to run you out of a church. They're to bless you. They're to profit you. Amen? That's what they're for. And that's what that verse is saying right there. We could camp on that for a while. All right. Where are we?
Eight.
All right. Eight. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit divides to every man severally as he wills." I have a slide I'm going to have Alan pull up on the screen for you this morning. It's a little homespun looking, but it'll work for the purpose, all right? These are the nine gifts of the Spirit that are laid out in these verses in 1 Corinthians 12. There are three gifts in each category, what we call the vocal gifts. That would be prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We have the power gifts. We refer to them as the power gifts. Working of miracles, gifts of healings, and faith. That's a supernatural kind of faith. We have revelation gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Now, each of these categories operate in a different way. For example, the vocal gifts say something. The power gifts do something. And the revelation gifts reveal something. All right? And all these nine gifts work together, the Bible says, for our good, for our profit. And they all express themselves in different ways, and they operate through different people. Praise God, we have a church of variety here. We have some people that are very astute at operating in vocal gifts, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We had a message given in tongues last week that was interpreted by the same lady who gave it. So God has diversities of gifts. He has different kinds of gifts that operate in different ways. We have seen some healings happen here in this church. Amen. We've seen some supernatural things. Rose testified a couple weeks back how the Lord touched her heart and the doctors verified there is no trouble in that heart. Amen. After God did his miracle power in her life and so forth. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. If you're not familiar with those, you can get my teaching from previous weeks and we'll cover that in those teachings. But I'm not going to deal with that today. I am going to deal with the final revelation gift, discerning of spirits. And also the three power gifts. We're going to hit four on the floor today very quickly. All right, so you're going to have to track with me quick because we got a lot of ground to cover. All right, one revelation gift and three power gifts. Let me say this about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you got born again, when you had your sins forgiven by Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to live in your life. And at that point, at that moment, the power and the glory of all these nine gifts is residing in each one of you. And it's on tap. And it's available as the need arises. Amen? So if you need a miracle, if someone near you needs a miracle and the Holy Spirit taps you in that moment, that miracle power is there. It's in you. He's in you because it's not an it, it's a he. Amen? It's God's very Spirit living in you. These are all available. I like to call them like a tool belt. Okay, we did a series a year or two back, and I called these power tools because, you know, when you're working around the house and you have something that needs adjusting, maybe a screw with a screwdriver, you know, there's a difference between turning a screwdriver by hand and having one of these rigid, you know, motor, you know, screwdriver, impact drivers, they call them, you know, power tools. These are tools that get the job done in a situation. Amen. If you're trying to tell someone about Jesus and they have a broken leg and they need a miracle or they need healing, you can witness to them all day long and that's good. We want to get them saved and get them ready to go to heaven, but they need healing in that moment. So the tool they need at that moment might be a gift of healing. It might be a working of miracle and you have it in you with the Holy Ghost inside you. You have everything. You are equipped, I would say, for everything that's needed. All right. Now, what I'm going to do today in covering these four remaining gifts is talk about four things. Number one, what the gift is. And in that process, I'll clarify what it's not, of course, and how it works, how it operates. I'm going to give a biblical example. And in several cases, I'll give a modern example as well of the operation of that gift. All right. So let's start real quick. We'll get right into the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. So let me say this too from the onset, that these gifts, even the name of some of them, discerning of spirits, I mean, that sounds kind of, you know, this can scare some people. Let me say this. Everything you read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Jesus and his ministry to the sick, his ministry to people who were demonized, his ministry to this or that situation, all of these gifts were in operation in our Savior. Yeah. It's not to be afraid of. Jesus operated in all nine of these gifts. Now, he didn't say, hey, guys, I want you to watch this. Here goes a working miracle. He didn't stand up and say that. He just did it, okay? But the power that was at work in Jesus is the same power at work in you and I in these nine gifts to effect the change that's needed. So in discerning of spirits, let me say what it is not. It is not the gift of discernment of people, a.k.a. criticism, fault finding. When we say discerning of spirits, we're not talking about finding fault in another human. No, a discerning of spirit has to do with this. It is the Holy Spirit giving us supernatural insight into the realm of spirits. It's like putting on x-ray goggles. And all of a sudden, you don't see the natural realm around you. You see into the spirit world. I know that sounds real far-fetched, but that's exactly what this gift means. It means all of a sudden, if there's a demon in the room, you see the demon. If there's an angel in the room, you see the angel. Not in here, not with inward eyes. You see him like I'm looking at you right now. You see him as if he was physical in the room at the moment. That is discerning of spirits. And there are three classes of spirits that reveals. Number one, divine spirits, like angels, like Jesus. If Jesus appears to someone in a glorified state and they actually see a vision of Jesus walking into their room, that's discerning of spirits that enables them to see into the spirit world. If a person sees a demon, there was several ministers over the years that have ministered healing to people. Jesus did it himself. We're going to look at an example in a moment where someone comes forward for prayer and it's not the sickness that's the problem, it's the spirit. There's a spirit of cancer, for example, or a spirit of this or a spirit of that that's hanging on to that person. And when the discerning of spirits is in operation, it reveals that, hey, there's a spirit that needs to be dealt with here, not just a natural sickness, okay? So that's what discerning of spirits is. It reveals the causes of things. It enables the believer to see what is in operation. So it has to do with strategy. And it may be a huge boost to our faith. And we'll see that in a moment in an Old Testament example. With Elisha. All right, let's turn in our Bibles real quick to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse 14. And this is speaking of Jesus. It says, he was casting out a devil. And many times this happened in church. Imagine that. Do you know devils come to church? They don't want to, trust me, they don't want to be here. But they're attached. Sometimes they're attached with the person that's carrying them around and they just come to church, they show up. So whenever they did in Jesus' day, he just cast them out. And that's what he's doing here. He says, he was casting out a devil and it was dumb. How many know all devils are dumb? But it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. What that really means is a mute person, a person who couldn't speak. The dumb spoke and the people wondered. Okay? So in this example, again, it doesn't tell us specifically that Jesus used the discerning of spirits to minister to this person, but obviously he knew there was a spirit behind the muteness, the inability to speak. And so he addressed the spirit. I believe he saw that spirit, and he cast the spirit out. And once the spirit goes, if it's a demon that's causing an illness, how many of you know the cure is there? All right, so if it's a spirit of this or a spirit of that, if it's cast out, hey, problem solved. Just saved yourself a ton in medical bills. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at another example. 2 Kings. This is in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is way back before Psalms. And verse 15. 2 Kings 6, 15. Now, Elijah is a prophet. He's in trouble because he's surrounded by the enemy army. How many of you know when there's a prophet and you want to capture him, you don't send one or two soldiers, you send the whole army. And that's what happened here. They sent this army after Elisha. And in verse 15, it says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and he looked out, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, whoa, we're in trouble. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Because Elisha already saw. He said, open his eyes so he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire. That's where they got the name for the movie, by the way. Round about Elisha. So he said, Lord, open his eyes. And when the Lord did it, boom, he saw the angels. He saw the chariots. He saw the fire. How many of you know there are real horses and chariots in heaven? There are, the earth mirrors heaven. It should not be odd to us that when we speak of the spirit world, everything that we see in the natural world is a mirror of that which exists in the spirit world. In fact, the Bible talks about at the end of the age that Jesus will return on a white horse. There are horses in heaven. You say, I thought there were just harps and angels. No, there's horses, there's animals. And there's chariots, and obviously fire too. And when God opened this servant's eyes, he saw into the spirit realm. That was discerning of spirits. The angels were there all the time. The horses and chariots were there all the time, but he didn't see them. Okay? Now beware if you run into someone and they're always seeing into the spirit realm. I met a guy one time and he was talking about, you know, working on homes, doing remodeling, and how he would play hide and seek with the angels and this and that. If people are seeing this stuff all the time, that's a red flag. Okay, that's all we'll say about that. Praise the Lord. All right, another modern example of discerning of spirits. If you look on YouTube and Google or do a search on Six-Day War, how many of you are familiar with the Six-Day War that took place in 1967 with Israel and all the Arab nations? There were multitudes of testimonies that came out of the Six-Day War of people who saw these giant spirit beings, obviously angels, who were fighting for Israel. And they were totally outnumbered. It was an absolute impossibility to do what they did in the Six-Day War. And it was all because of angelic intervention. And you can find that on YouTube. They're all over. The videos are all over there. So I encourage you to study that out. We had a testimony a couple weeks ago of a family here in our church who had an uncle, Uncle Larry, correct, Ben? Uncle Larry. He lost his arm when he was a young man in an accident. And all his life, he was just really frustrated with God, really angry at God and life. But right on his deathbed, he received the Lord Jesus and was saved. Praise the Lord. And he had a brother, Johnny, correct? Uncle Johnny. So there was Uncle Larry that received the Lord on his deathbed and Uncle Johnny. Uncle Johnny heard a shout at 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning? 2 in the morning, the night that Uncle Larry went to go home with Jesus. What happened was Uncle Johnny, who was miles away, I don't know how far apart, but they weren't in the same next, they weren't in the next bedroom, that's for sure. But they were miles apart, and Uncle Johnny, who was a believer, strong believer, he said he woke at 2 in the morning hearing this shout, not a shout of pain, but a shout of joy of someone who had just run into the arms of Jesus, into glory. And he later found out from the nurses that at 2:15 in the morning, right at that same moment, Uncle Larry was going to be with the Lord. Uncle Johnny, in a sense, had a discerning of spirit. He didn't see something, but he heard something, and he heard a human spirit that was far away that was rejoicing going into glory. That would be a form of discerning of spirits. Isn't that a great testimony? Praise the Lord. I'd love to hear a shout like that with some people I know. Praise the Lord. All right, well, let's go on to the next gift, gift of faith. Gift of faith. Now, let's talk about this gift of faith. This is not general faith that the Bible says comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You have total control over how much faith you add to your life by how much time you spend in this book. The Bible says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you can increase your faith or you can run out of faith based on how little or how much time you spend in this book. But this gift of faith that we're talking about, this power gift of faith, is not that kind of faith. It is something different. It's a special faith given by the Holy Spirit. And here's the definition. It enables the believer in a moment of time to receive miracles. To receive miracles. It is a miracle-receiving special kind of faith. It almost seems passive. It almost seems like it comes on you as such a natural thing that you don't actively reach out and do something, but rather it almost just becomes easy for it to happen, easy for it to occur. Under its influence, the recipient seems unable to do anything but believe. All right? Unbelief almost seems impossible when you're under the influence of the gift of faith. Isn't that a glorious thing? Let me give you an example. Daniel in the lion's den. It's not natural for you to sleep the night away and relax and be, you know, non-stressed the next morning when the king looks in the lion's den and says, "Hey, Daniel, did you survive?" And he says, "Chill out, king. God stopped the mouths of the lions." That is a supernatural faith to be calm in the midst of certain death, all right? That is an expression of the gift of faith. Daniel, in the scripture, it says he was unharmed and unalarmed because he trusted. Because he trusted. Literally, in the King James, I think it says it that way. Because he trusted in his God. That trust was a gift of faith to Daniel that enabled him to survive that night in the lion's den. The gift of faith manifests in two ways that are extreme opposites. It manifests in extreme calm or extreme zeal. Extreme calm or extreme zeal. How many of you ever operated in the gift of faith? You were in a circumstance that should have rocked you to the core, and you just had this unearthly peace about you, this faith, this trust in God. Anybody at all ever been through a traumatic thing or a big emergency thing? Okay, that's the gift of faith that gives you that ability to be calm. Now, the opposite of that is the extreme zeal. All right, let me give you an example of that. I think it's a beautiful example. Jesus asleep in the boat is an expression of the gift of faith at work in order to give him extreme calm. But when Jesus arose and the storm was raging, he stood up in the front of the boat and spoke to the wind that was creating the storm, and he spoke to it and calmed the waves. That is that extreme zeal, that gift of faith that caused him to speak to nature. Okay, are you with me? So in that instance, we see both opposites. The extreme calm that enabled him to sleep in the boat, the extreme zeal which gave him boldness to speak. Another example from the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 10. It tells us that Joshua was fighting a battle and he was running out of daylight. And he stood back and in a moment of just, you know, what seems like an outburst, he spoke to the sun, he spoke to the moon, and he said, "Sun, stand still. Moon, do not move." And the Bible says for about a whole day, the earth stopped revolving. I know that seems far-fetched, but it happened. And he won the battle because the sun stayed still and he had daylight to finish out the job. That was an extreme zeal that caused him to stand up and speak to nature. And the Bible says there's never been a day quite like that day before or since that God hearkened unto a man like he did Joshua. That was the gift of faith that caused him to stand up and with such boldness speak to nature. The gift of faith. Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay, good. That gift, the gift of faith, ties in very closely with the next gift we'll talk about, which is working of miracles. Working of miracles, all right? Let's cover working of miracles, the other power gift. Now, this is not you and your abilities on your best day. I know some of you in here feel like Superman, but, you know, that's not the same. This working of miracles, this ability by the Holy Spirit, which is a miracle power of God at work in you, it's not the same as, you know, "Hey, Billy cleaned his room today." It's a miracle. It's different. It's quite different, okay? This is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. All right, Jesus walking on water. He should have what? Sank. But he walked. He intervened. The course of nature, which causes, you know, people to sink when they try to walk on water, it was stopped. Okay, here's another definition. It's a temporary suspension. I just thought I'd do that for effect. It's a temporary suspension in the normal order of things, okay? The gifting of the work of miracles is a temporary suspension. Again, in the case of Joshua, where God suspended time. That was fun. For a day, all right? We might say it this way. It's an explosion of almightiness. I like that phrase. That's not original, but I love it. Explosion of almightiness. It's a nugget of omnipotence. I like that one too. It's a nugget of omnipotence. When God works this miracle power in us, he is allowing us to taste of his greatness and his power in a small way that won't fry us, all right? It's just a glorious thing. All the exciting stories in the Bible are full of what? Miracles. Miracles. Why do we love stories like Jonah in the well? I mean, it's a miracle. A guy could survive 3 days in the belly of a fish, right? Not be eaten up by all that stomach acid, right? And what's even a greater miracle is that when he spit him out on land close enough he could get back to Nineveh and fulfill his mission, right? I mean, he could have spit him out in the Bahamas. I mean, who knows where he could have spit him out? You don't know where that whale's going, but God spit him out close enough to he could finish his mission. That's a miracle. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fire. The fire didn't burn them. It burned the ropes off their hands. That's a miracle. It's a suspension of flames consuming their flesh and rather consuming their bonds. Amen? Jericho with the walls crashing down. It's not natural for walls to come crashing down without catapults and cannons and, you know, grappling hooks. Just a shout? Are you kidding? But with the miracle power of God at work, you might say that Joshua worked a miracle. Joshua and the people, through the power of God, worked the miracle. And this is something about the working of miracles that enables us to participate in the power of God. This is what's different between the gift of faith and the working of miracles. In the gift of faith, again, we are somewhat passive. We just have this calm about us that's causing us to just rest in the midst of crazy circumstances. In the working of miracles, we get involved. In fact, the best example I can think of is in the Old Testament when God told Moses, he said, "What are you crying out to me for? Lift up your rod, stretch out your hand, and divide the sea." Notice he told Moses to divide the sea. Go back and read it. It's Exodus chapter 14, 16. He told him to divide the sea. So God allowed Moses to get involved in the miracle. All right. Again, when God involves us in the working of miracles, there's a boldness that comes on us to do our part. Amen. There's a part for us to play in the working of miracles. Let me give you a modern day example. Those are some biblical examples. And if you're taking notes, write this down too. That while the gift of faith passively receives, the working of miracles actively does. I like that. While the gift of faith passively receives, the working of miracles actively does. So there's a part for us to play. We step out, we actually do something in the working of miracles. Now, Alan has a slideshow I'm going to put up here on the screen. In 1987, Delia Knox was hit by a drunk driver. This is her car on a snowy day. And she was paralyzed from the waist down. Yeah. Next. For a decade or so, she was, this is her being prayed for. We're skipping a little ahead here. But for a decade or so, she believed God. She was in the ministry. She loved God. She was a praise and worship leader. And she worshiped from her wheelchair, but she saw no change for over 10 years, believing God for healing in her body. In 2010, she was in a meeting with Nathan Morris, an evangelist from England. How many of you ever heard Nathan? He's a great preacher. Man, he's a good one. And Nathan prayed along with her husband, Pastor Levi there. He prayed over Delia's legs. And she said at one point in the service, she said, "I feel something in my legs." Now that's a miracle. Legs that have been paralyzed for over 22 years, no feeling, no nerve damage, and all of a sudden the nerves come alive. That's a miracle. Next. This is Delia taking her first steps in that same church service. Next. This is Delia smiling because she's taken more than one step after God's miracle power begins to work in her. And over the course of 3 weeks, her legs got stronger and stronger on her own. Next. This is Delia a while later giving her testimony in a church in St. Louis, Missouri. Next. Excuse me, Bay St. Louis. Where is that? Mississippi? Mississippi. Thank you. Bay St. Louis. There she is walking with her husband like normal and finally dancing a jig to Jesus' miracle power in her life. Hallelujah. You say, "Scott, how come Delia got her miracle and so-and-so I knew didn't get their miracle?" Well, we don't understand everything about the gifts of the Spirit, but we know they work. Yeah. And when they're in operation, things happen. Praise the Lord. Healings come. Miracles come. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, write this verse down. You can look it up later and meditate on it, but it's a powerful, powerful verse. Deuteronomy 29:29. I'm just going to read it to you here. "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Certain things in the spirit realm we don't understand, but one thing we know, the word is true. Amen. Amen. God has revealed his word to us. We know it's his will to heal all people. Amen. And if someone doesn't get their healing, we don't understand that. We'll leave that mystery to heaven, okay? Can you do that? I can do that. We're going to leave this life with some questions. That's okay. The answers come in glory. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Finally, the gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. We're going to cover what's one last gift, and then we'll be done. Gifts of healings. In the Young's literal translation, there in 1 Corinthians 12, when it says gifts of healing, in the Greek language, it actually is plural, gifts of healings. And in fact, of the 9 gifts that are mentioned, it's the only gift besides various speaking in tongues that is given in the plural. Gifts of healings. All the other 9 gifts, except for speaking in tongues, are in the singular. So there's something interesting here we want to look at in regard to the gifts of healings. Number one, I want to say this about the gifts of healings. It's not doctors and medicine. As great as those things are, the gifts of healings, as we're talking about here, and the gifts of 9 gifts of the Spirit, is not you getting your healing through medicine or a doctor. Praise the Lord for medicine. Praise the Lord for doctors. Amen. But the gifts of healings comes through the Holy Ghost, and it's free, and there's no side effects. Hallelujah. This is a supernatural manifestation of healing from any sickness and disease. And let me give you an example of what I mean by when I say it's not doctors and medicine. In Acts chapter 27, Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Melita. And while he was there, the chief on the island, his father-in-law, was sick with fever and dysentery. And the Bible says that Paul, not Luke, who was a physician, mind you, and was with Paul in that shipwreck, Paul ministered to the man and healed him. He laid hands on him and healed him. That was a gift of healing released in the man and healed him. And it says it was such a great thing that all the people of the island came to Paul to be healed. Well, let me tell you, if you got dysentery, you want a supernatural healing. If you've ever had anything close to dysentery. And I've been on some mission trips to Mexico when I wish Paul was nearby. I mean, whoo. But so this was a great thing. And the whole island heard about it, and they all came together and were healed. This is the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles. It's not Luke the physician ministering to the sick. Praise God for Luke the physician being on hand when we need him. But in this case, it was supernatural. Amen?
Amen.
So why is it in the plural when it says gifts of healings? Why is it listed here in the plural? Well, many ministers who have operated for years in the ministry of healing believe that it's in the plural for this reason, that God assigns specialists, if you will, specialists in the kingdom of God, people who are good at certain types of healings. For example, there are ministers who over the years, they've seen great success seeing people delivered and healed of tumors. Other ministers have been good at seeing people healed of blindness or deafness. It almost seems that in the kingdom of God, there are what we would call in the medical world specialists who operate under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And of course, through his power, no other power could do it. They are seeing consistent healings in certain areas. That's why they refer to it as gifts of healings. Let me say this about Jesus. Anytime you read in the Gospels where Jesus healed people, he always healed them all. Why is that? Because Jesus, the Bible says, had the Holy Spirit in him without measure, without limit, all right? But now Jesus has ascended to heaven and he's done what? He's poured out his Holy Spirit. And in pouring out his Holy Spirit, he didn't give it to one man. He gave it to what we call the body of Christ, which is the whole embodiment, the corporate embodiment of all believers in Jesus. Amen. So some of you are good at healing blind people. Some of you are good at healing people with fever. Some of you are good at healing people with back pain, etc. Those gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. And it also reminds us we need the whole body. We need the whole body to function as a whole. Amen. So not one gift is poured into one human. Praise the Lord. This is all these gifts that we've talked about getting healed miraculously are in no way a negating of the believer's ability and opportunity to be healed anytime simply by believing the word of God.
Amen.
Hey, if you're on vacation and your back gets wrenched and you don't have a healing evangelist nearby who has the gift of healing for back pains, you need something that's right there where you're at, right? And the Bible says that in Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 105:20, he healed it, sent his word and healed them. Psalm 107:20. Thank you, ladies. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. So the simplest way and the most accessible way for all believers to be healed is through the word. Amen. But thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Sometimes your faith isn't just even to the level of grabbing it from the word. And in that moment, you might need someone with the gift of healing to minister to you. And I'll say this, when the gifts of healing are in operation, people always get healed.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
They get it. All right. So we need this gift. We need the gifts of healing along with the word of God. Praise the Lord. All right. A couple of verses to close out and we'll wrap this up. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. In verse 18, this is Paul talking about his own ministry. He says, Romans 15:18, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and what? Say it real loud. Deed. Paul said, when I went to preach to the Gentiles, I didn't just go with words, I went with deeds. And he says, I won't boast about anything that God hasn't done through the power that's been at work in my ministry through words and deeds. How many of you know you can't just preach the gospel with words? You got to have some deeds. You got to have some deeds. Let's read on verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. If you're going to leave home to go preach the gospel around the world, you better leave home with the right tools. As they say, don't leave home without it. Paul said here, I wouldn't have thought about leaving home without the word and the deed, the power of the Holy Spirit to help me preach the gospel around the world. That's what he's saying there in Romans chapter 15. You know, in Mark 16, you can just write this down, Mark 16, the end of the chapter, you can read those last four or five verses. Jesus listed the signs that would follow those that believe when we go out as disciples of his to preach the gospel. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will what? Cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. We had somebody do that here this morning. Hallelujah. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with new tongues. Take up serpents. Now, we got lots of visitors here today, so I suggest ushers that we put the rattlesnakes over on this side of the room, the cobras over here, coral snakes on the out. No, just kidding. We don't take up snakes here on purpose. It's implying that when you take up a snake by accident, because we don't test or tempt God around here, if we happen to pick up a snake, which I can assure you in my life would be a total accident, it's not going to happen on purpose. Jesus said it will not harm them. And if they drink deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Those are five things that Jesus listed there for us to go out with our mission to go around the world. And did you know that not one of those five things can be done without the power of the Holy Spirit?
Amen. That's right.
We have to have his power in us to make that happen. All right, finally in John 14, look at John 14, 12. John 14, 12. Jesus said this, verily, verily. Man, we need to slow down. Sometimes you just need to stop when you're reading a verse, especially in the King James, because there can be a whole lot of power just in verily, verily. Because Jesus always spoke the truth. He didn't need to say verily twice. Are you with me? He could have just said, I say unto you. He could have just said, verily. But he said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said it right there, John 14, 12. We're going to do greater works than him if we believe on him. Amen. If we believe. I haven't walked on water yet. Haven't had the need to. But the Bible tells us right there that through the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is going to the Father, and in the context of John 14, he's talking all about the Holy Spirit that would be to come.
Yeah.
This is why Pentecost was so powerful, the day of Pentecost. It was the day the Holy Spirit was unleashed on the earth to the whole body of Christ, everyone who would believe on Jesus, to give us the ability to do all the things that Jesus did and greater. Why greater? Well, because Jesus, the Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, he did everything necessary to prove he was the Son of God to the Jews. That's what he did. There was way more things he could have done, but he did what was necessary to prove he was the Son of God. So there's still some things to be done. All right, we got that. We believe that much. We believe he is the Son of God. Let's see greater works. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm here to declare to you today, church, we're moving into greater works.
Yes.
All nine gifts.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us if you want to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation, you don't have to fast for it, you don't have to beg for it, you don't have to plead for it, but you have to desire it.
Yes.
It says, covet earnestly the gifts of the Spirit. Eagerly desire. You know, when you're a child and you want a new bicycle, you want a new this, you want a new that, what do? You're right there at daddy's shirt tugging on it. Dad, I want this. I want this. When are you going to buy it for me? You're pleading day and night. You're asking. You're reminding, just in case he forgot. And I want to encourage you daily to ask. Don't go to work. Don't leave home without it. I tell the Lord often lately, I'm not going to work if you don't come with me. I'm not going into that arena without the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do what you need me to do without you. And he has 9 gifts, all powerful gifts. The best gift is whatever gift is needed in the moment. And they're available to us. With the Holy Spirit in you, all 9 gifts are available on tap as the situation demands. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's stand together.